Call to order. Opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Boulderman?
Here.
Mrs. Bissell? Mr. Burns? Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mrs. Herbert? Mr. Hobiter? Mr. Johnson? Mr. Lucretto? Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollock?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale?
Here.
We do not have a quorum.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public board meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. I recommend acceptance and approval of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of July 19th, 2022. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed executive session no longer exist. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes.
Mr. Serino, Mr. Catani.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
There's no student board representative report tonight, so we'll just move to the presentations.
Even though you have 40 members on your serve team, Coach, and we can see a few of them who came tonight, I appreciate that. I will call out all the names this evening because I would definitely like to recognize them in front of the Board of Education. The picture will be up there, and I think what you did again this year, like the ninth consecutive year that I've been involved in it, was just awesome. So if we could have the head coaches, J.T. LaCaruba, come up, and Mike DeRouche, and assistant coach, Jeff Hoffman. Coaches, congratulations. And if you wouldn't mind standing up with me as we congratulate all the students, and those students that are here, if you would come up when I call your name and get your medal and your certificate. Stand right up here tonight. For the eighth consecutive year, Varsity won the state championship. finalists include Paul Devane, Carly Vogel, Ryan Tracy, Nylan DeLucio, Audrey Inglet. JV won its second consecutive state championship, and all matters won finals swept the field. Yeah, they had to make you feel great.
It does.
First place JV finalists were Ben Kuritsky, Gavin Meserol, and Carly Pagliarini. Varsity and select JV team members competed at the NSSA National Championship Competition in California this June. That was in San Diego, correct?
Orange County.
Orange, is that close to San Diego?
Close enough.
All right, almost there. Yeah. Varsity team finished seventh place overall. And this is my ninth year. And every year since I've been here, the team has been out in California to represent New Jersey. I think that is awesome. And I do want to thank the Board of Education for allowing that to happen. And the parents. And even more spectacular, we have had no problem with that, with the children being in San Diego or Orange County, and the coaches doing such a great job with it. Not anything, to my knowledge. And that speaks volumes for the parents and the children every half year. Thank you for that. Okay. All right. I think, I don't know if I was finished with it. Let's go back. Thank you. Varsity team finished seventh place overall, while JV finished fourth place overall. And that's throughout the entire country.
Mm-hmm. Your teams in Hawaii, California, Florida, Jersey.
Wow. The two best team places in Manasquan's history, Nylan DeLucio finished fourth in varsity longboard division, Gavin Meserol finished fourth in JV longboard division, Caroline Ireland finished sixth in JV women's division, and Carly Pagliarini finished fourth in JV women's division. Now, to the individual medals. If you're here, please come up. Jack Anderson. Joseph Belushi. James Bonavita, TJ Boucher, Mackenzie Brennan, Conan Brewer, Adrian Brown, Donovan Brown, Henry Burke, or Burke, Keegan Byrne, Christopher Carhart, Connor Carter, Carly Coble. Yes, Charlie, thank you. Bridget Hine, Jesse Holsart, Audrey Inglet, Christopher Jordan, Kieran Lawrence, Colin Lawrence, Thomas Weigel, Maxwell Wolves, Matt Loveland, William Pincelli, River McGuire, Kevin McLaughlin, Gavin Meserol, Trey Morgan, Hunter Oniak, Zachary Olson, Dean Mendazzo, Audrey Inglet, come on up. Awesome job.
Thank you.
Congratulations, and great timing, by the way.
Yeah.
And here's just a picture.
Thank you.
Complete. Because we'll get a picture at the end. Aiden Rosa, Samuel Sarza, Evan Shirk, David Seeley, Luke Scala. Thank you. smart.
Thank you.
Robert Thompson, Ryan Tracy, Kristen Wall, Olivia Warner, Noah Wilson, Martin Burns, Benjamin Sawitzky, Riley Paterno, Reese Miller, Brendan Mill, Carolyn Ireland. Is that it, Coach? And that concludes our members of the championship surf team. Coach, I'm going to give you all this shit. You good? Thanks for coming, guys. We have cupcakes there, please. Get some. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Guys, you can take some cupcakes on the way out, please. Because he never has a name. If we have more, they would be. I didn't want to.
No, I just didn't know if they weren't.
Like 40 members on the team.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like 30 minutes. And we had to get it again. Anyway, you got it.
No, I'm over here. This is fine.
We'll now move on to our director's reports. If our directors could come forward, please.
Good evening, everybody. One of the things I've learned in 15 years of being in this district is the last thing you want to do is have to follow the surf team. Very difficult act to follow, but we'll do the best that we can. So I wanted to give everyone an overview today about our new courses going forward for 2022, 2023. Talk about our curriculum writing process for a second. Also, you know, really thank everybody, all the administrators and the teachers who spent time not only writing the curriculum this summer, but as I've mentioned in previous board meetings, we went through an intensive training session over the course of the year, not just with curriculum writing, but also to have our teachers be a part of the Monmouth County Curriculum Directors Consortium and the New Jersey Department of Education so they could be familiar with the standards. And also, you know, the updates as to, you know, everything that's been going on with curriculum in the state in the last year. And we've had great dialogues. We've had some really productive sessions in terms of writing. And I just want to thank everybody, you know, all those people that were involved. So the first thing I wanted to do today or tonight was to go over the new courses that we're offering this year, both Manasquan Elementary and Manasquan High School. So as we went through the curriculum writing this year, the three courses that we that we're introducing at the elementary school is our social and emotional learning. That is an elective that's going through grades 5 through 8. The curriculum writing was done by Anthony Sinelli, one of our counselors over at the elementary school. The course is designed to raise students' awareness in terms of their own health, their own awareness, and their own connection you know, to their studies and how it relates to their, you know, to their own well-being. So we're excited for that class. The second course is Introduction to Band in grade 4. It's very similar to the course that we wrote last year, which was the cultural arts course in 4th grade. We're doing our best to expose our students to the arts or as early as we can. The course is very exciting again for some students. For most students, it'll be their first experience in becoming familiar with instruments and how to read music. So this is a course, again, that we're looking forward to. And finally, podcasting in grades 7 and 8. This really kind of ties into a lot of the things that we're doing with digital citizenship and creativity. And again, this gives students an opportunity to kind of explore expression through a different, through a different medium. So again, these are all courses that we'll be running for the first time this year. At the high school, we have two new electives in our social studies department: civic action and democracy, and historical perspective, research and debate. Both of those courses were written by Jim Fagan. Jim's been a social studies teacher here for a long time. One of the coordinators of our academies. He is constantly pushing for new electives to promote student discourse and discovery in the area of civics and social studies. And, credit to Mr. Goodall and Ms. Kenny to be able to work the schedule in a way where we can include these electives. So these are, again, courses that we're looking forward to have written. Science in the Kitchen is a new course that we have integrated into our science curriculum. We have three courses that we're adding into our project Lead the Way: Civil Engineering and Architecture, Principles of Biomedical Science, and Human Body Systems. We have two new teachers that are teaching in Project Lead the Way: Eric Wozneski and Chrisaeus McHugh. They've been involved with the curriculum writing of the courses and also some extensive professional development through Project Lead the Way. So again, this is the next level as to this program and exploration in engineering. As Mr. Goodall has mentioned on a number of occasions, this is a very popular program, and we're looking for this to obviously expand as we offer these new courses. And the final courses we offered is Conversational Spanish. This is a course that for students that may struggle with language at the introductory levels, this is a course that focuses on basic language and theories of culture. So that's another addition.
Now, all the new classes that we have, those curriculums are all online.
Correct.
So I encourage you to go online, and if you haven't already, to take a look at those curriculums so you have an understanding of what you're doing. If you have any questions, please feel free to give your call. Or, Rick, yes.
So Rick, are any of those classes grade specific?
At the high school?
The high school level?
The Project Lead the Way courses are upper level courses.
Sequential.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and then the other two, specific action and democracy, perspective, are usually sophomore and above.
Okay.
Generally, the conversational Spanish is for freshmen, and then the science and the kitchen is integrated throughout. So it's a majority of the courses being a little bit later in freshman year.
And so, civil engineering and architecture, ninth grade?
No, it's the Project Lead the Way classes that are first of the intro to principles of engineering.
Okay.
And one more, and then they build on each other.
So civil engineering,
Ted's question could be sophomore, junior, senior.
So sophomore, junior, senior.
Yeah. Okay.
And principles of same. Biomedical science?
Same,
sophomore, junior,
yeah.
Senior,
they
according to the individual student?
The intro okay. class first.
Okay. And human body system, same?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's fantastic.
And just an overview of our professional development initiatives for the upcoming year. And we submitted the PD plan for the district for this month's meeting. But I just wanted to go through a couple of the initiatives that we have going on this year. The first is the SASAVIS training. So we will be having on-site training looking like probably late September or October for our teachers K-8 for our new science curriculum. We had most of the materials came in actually yesterday, and some more came today. So we're in the process of unpacking and getting ready for that training. We're very excited about that. We've had teachers from K-8 in the elementary school call, myself and the principals, asking when the materials are coming in. They're very eager to get started with that. So that's going to be one element of our PD. We're also continuing with sheltered instruction with year two. So last year, we trained teachers on both sides of the street. We trained a group of teachers at different grade levels and content areas. This year, we will be training a second group of teachers with the idea that, in the upcoming years, that all our teachers are trained in sheltered instruction, which will lend itself to more pointed instruction, to our English language learners, and all teachers will be incorporating a language objective along with the regular objectives, content objectives in the courses. So we're moving ahead with that this year. Ready Math in grade 7 and 8, this will focus on on-site virtual training, on-site and virtual training focused on program development, pedagogy, and differentiated instruction, and also data analysis. As we've talked about, the Ready Math program with our new math curriculum provides so much data for kids and for teachers in terms of learning and differentiation and planning moving forward. And we're continuing to drill down on those tools and that data. Our advanced placement initiative continues. We'll move forward with workshops and online training for our teachers. We have course-specific content. Teachers that teach AP Physics have specific programs that they go through. All of the teachers will be trained in AP Classroom, which is something that I've talked about in at previous meetings. The AP Classroom is a tool of resources that teachers use with their students to prepare them not only to master the content, but to perform well on the end of course exams. And we saw a lot of good results, positive results based on that PD last year. Project Lead the Way, as we talked about, this is part of the curriculum that we purchased, is the professional development. Our two new teachers have gone through the PD this summer. The purpose of the PD is for them to be familiar with the digital resources and also with the dynamic objectives and assessments that are used in the with these engineering courses.
How much professional development? How many hours are we getting from the SAVIS training? What do we pay for? Do you know off the top of your head?
A little over $100,000 for the entire program.
How much? Because with that payment, they give us X amount of hours of training. Right?
They do. They basically measure it by on-site training sessions. So we have, I believe, 3 on-site training sessions scheduled for this year. So our first one, again, will be at the end of September and then October, or October. So that half day that we have in October, we'll schedule time for our K-8 teachers to spend that half day of PD to go through that with the trainers.
And do you think that's sufficient, what we have?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I think that, you know, as we go through, and we learned this as we implemented Ready Math, what happens is that we go through the training and then questions come up as the teachers, you know, exercise in the classroom. So they generate questions for the next PD session, and it becomes a very fluid, interactive process with the presenters.
And I think that is a great example, because with Ready Math, actually, we had a great result with that for children. That's why I wanted to make sure that the training you're getting is enough, and that if we needed more, that we would do that.
We also have an option in for the second year that we could explore if we need more.
And then congratulations, because I did send a letter home in the Friday packet, the last Friday packet, with the approval that we got for our new focus on sheltered instruction. And I want to congratulate Megan and Rick for doing that. And the state approved our plan for our ESL population, which I think is huge. And if you recall, we did that training over last year with the hopes that we would get approved over the summer, and we did. So congratulations to both of you.
And just a couple other more items that we're going to focus on. Our Elements of Student Literacy is geared to our kindergarten teachers. This is an on-site training provided by reading specialist Kristen Walsh. It's a voluntary program that we have with teachers that are coming in over the summer to explore elements of building literacy blocks in kindergarten to really build a foundation for reading. So we have our kindergarten teachers coming in. They're going to be going through some PD, I believe, next week, and that's really going to kind of narrow our focus in terms of our literacy initiative at the lowest grade levels. Again, guided reading and math. This has been something that we've been doing for years, and this is on-site. It's really in a collaboration and an articulation with our sending districts. Deanne Opatowski from BDO Consulting. She does a shared training with our sending districts with guided reading and guided math. She talks about best practices, the power of student teaming, and also just, you know, how to use data to drive instruction. Our teachers have been very, very pleased with that training over the years. So that's something that we wanted to continue. An INRS training, I know that's an initiative at the elementary school. The on-site is going to be provided by staff and on our MES INRS leadership team, and they'll be training the staff on best practices in providing multi-tiered formal intervention strategies for students. So that will occur the opening week of September in training our staff.
Yeah, I just wanted to just say quickly, I think that's awesome with what we're doing. For the last 5 years, we had that focus on guided reading and guided math. And what it does for us, it focuses on the child and gets the specifics of what that individual child needs for development. And by training our staff to see what they need to look for in a classroom, we've seen some results. So Diane has done a great job for us, and that's why she's back for at least 5 years.
She's been great.
Yeah.
She's been great. And finally, in the way of professional development, I've mentioned PLCs, professional learning communities, and I just wanted to kind of narrow the focus here and provide a definition. So our PLCs are a group of educators that meet regularly, share expertise, and work collaboratively to improve teaching skills and the academic performance of students. Very, very important, in our opinion, as a district, to find time for our grade level teachers and our content area teachers to meet, not just in department meetings, but in groups that discuss common goals in instruction and program. A lot of times we think about, again, just certain grade levels coming together or content areas, but we've kind of diversified that a little bit. A good example is our AP PLCs, where all our AP teachers come together. They talk about AP classroom, they talk about testing, they talk about common students and how they're doing in the class. These are all initiatives that we have going forward with PLCs. We're going to be forming a PLC to discuss our Gifted and Talented program, which you'll hear more about tonight. We'll be doing more training on that. Again, Advanced Placement. Project Lead the Way is also a PLC. It's going to be very important for our new teachers in Project Lead the Way to meet with Amy Edwards and Lawrence Chang to talk about what that's all about. So time will be allotted there. And we will also be doing, we'll be meeting in PLCs to discuss the results of the NJSLA scores, which were taken in the spring. So there's a lot of things that we're doing with a lot of specific groups. And I thank the board and Dr. Cajun and everyone else for creating time for us to do that and meet professionally. It's essential for our teachers and our students. And the last piece is I just want to go over the academic committees that we'll be meeting that I'll be a part of this year. We have our instructional council. We will continue discussions with our equity committee and those subgroups that was formed a couple of years ago to discuss our progress. We will also have a committee that will focus on student achievement, and that will be focused on our advanced placement program and international baccalaureate, which I know that Mr. Goodall will be talking about tonight, and also our professional development committee, where we will get feedback from our staff about what we offer them in terms of moving forward in their practice. So that's kind of an overview as to what we have planned for this year when our teachers get back. When they come back, we kind of lay all this out for them in terms of what our goals are for the year, and I think we have a really good plan moving forward. And I want to thank the principals and the supervisors and directors for working with me to put all this together. So that's where we are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I have one.
Yes.
The Ready Math for the 7th and 8th grade, Will all of those students they were all exposed to Ready Math for the last 2 years?
Yes. Yep. We adopted Ready Math at the middle school last year. So that was a year after we adopted in the primary grades 2 years ago.
Okay.
So, yep, they've all been exposed.
Now our Director of School Counseling Services, Ms. Kenny.
Actually sitting here with me all these months thinking it's nice for it to be the first time in a while that we've been able to open the school year different types of regulations placed on us and all of these different rules. So it's been really nice. I think it's exciting to start the school year in a normal type of way. We've been really busy this summer in terms of getting the building ready. The one thing I just want to discuss quickly is the nursing services plan. This is a plan that we adopt each year. It's very basic in the sense of explaining exactly what our nurses do in the district. We're fortunate enough here to have wonderful nurses full-time in the district. We were in the process of, hired Ms. Blewett, our new high school nurse at the end of the school year, so this will be the first year that she's starting in the in the high school. You know, basically, the nursing list of their jobs and their activities goes on and on. You know, essentially carrying out the written orders of the doctors and making sure all of the medical needs of the students and the staff are taken care of. We do break it down to different types of medical needs, meaning that level one, level two, and level three, you know, from the nursing dependents to the most fragile and least fragile students. And then we talk a little bit about what to do in terms of emergency services. I can say with confidence that the nurses that we have on staff are well-versed in what to do during an emergency. And I think they've, you know, shown, especially in the last couple of years, you know, how much they're able to adapt and move on. So this plan is essentially something that we put together just to develop for the nurses and the districts that we're aware of all of the additional roles that they follow. So with that being said, in terms of the counseling piece, we've been busy in the summer in terms of scheduling for the school year. Over here in the high school, we have already started, you know, with our balancing on classes. Our schedule will be live to students on Friday. You know, with the addition of hours for the counselor, we're very fortunate because a lot of the work for the beginning of the school year is done. We're able to get to it before the school year. The timelines keep changing. I know we've spoken about the fact that the college timelines continue to change, and we have students already coming in to apply to colleges. So it's wonderful that we're able to be here and support the students through that. I am in the process of developing a comprehensive school counseling plan. I'm revising it a little bit. Over the last couple of years, things have changed with COVID and with the timelines. So for my staff, just to be able to say that this is what is expected in September, October, November, and so on, and kind of changing and updating. We already put on the calendar all of our events, our college night, our ESL family night, and all of those events are already scheduled for this current year. And we've done a really good job this summer of, you know, getting in touch with families who don't speak English in the home and reaching out, you know, with the help of our ESL counselor to make sure that those students have a successful transition into this year. As we talk about September, we do have to start strong testing in really in most grades for the high school, it's grades 9, 10, and 12. And then in the elementary school, it's grades 3 through 8, 4 through 8. So, you know, unfortunately, the deadline for that is the last day of September. So once we start the school year, we're going to give the students a couple of weeks to get settled, and then we're going to begin with our testing. Hopefully, get it done within a short number of days, like 3 to 5 days. And then the last thing I just wanted to discuss was, I know Ms. Savage and I have been working really hard this year on the crisis plan, redoing the crisis plan, the threat assessment, and really trying to formalize and broaden the scope of the services that we offer. We have been working to put together and to, you know, to come up with different suggestions and different kind of taking into what's gone on the last couple of years. And with the need of, you know, more mental health services for our students and our families, we're looking at ways that we can really service students throughout the school day. So we're working on a plan to develop more wraparound services for the students during the school day. This involves taking licensed counselors, those who can provide clinical support, and moving forward with that. So we have been diligently working on that to hopefully, use some really good clinical interns to get the ball rolling and sort of start to get them on. So,
any questions about that?
Hi, everybody. I'm very excited to be here. So what have I been doing for the last couple of weeks? It's been very busy, but all good things. Very excited to be here. Feel very welcomed by everyone in the Manasquan family. Everyone has been very supportive, giving me lots of information, answering my 1 million questions that I have about everything, just trying to figure everything out. We had a very successful ESY program, which we run on both sides of the street for various groups of students based on their needs. So that was very successful. We just finished that last week. I've been fortunate enough to meet with plenty of staff that have been in and out of the building. Some have requested to come and meet with me, which I think is great, to kind of give me some of their ideas, talk about some initiatives that they have ideas about, some of the needs of the department, to kind of give me a framework to work with. And that's been including parents, child study, paraprofessionals, as well as teachers. Also take the opportunity to meet with all the sending districts. I think I have one left, and they've been very welcoming. I wanted to see who's coming to Manasquan High School, so it's important for me to make those connections with the sending district, with their administration and their child study team staff as well. So that led me to, what are my short-term initiatives and what are my long-term initiatives? Kind of thinking about, you know, all the work that I've been, all the information I've been gathering over the summer. I'd like to continue to familiarize myself with the special ed programs that currently exist in Manasquan Public Schools, really once we have hit the ground running. So once the students and the staff are back in, I can really familiarize myself to see what that actually looks like during the school year. So I'm excited for that. And then also focusing on something, an initiative that was started last year, was about least-restrictive environment and including inclusion in all grade levels. And then also professional development. This was a big item that keeps coming up every time I meet with staff, giving me lots of ideas of what they're looking for as far as professional development. Things like IEP development, data-driven instruction, and some different models for co-teaching. So all those will take place throughout the year through PLCs and then some of the professional development days that are built into the school year. Long term, what I'd like to focus on is really working collaboratively with the sending districts. A goal was always to keep students in a least restrictive environment, so that's really keeping students in public school settings as much as possible. So really kind of looking at what the needs are, not only Manasquan needs and some of the other sending districts about some of the special education needs, and then developing programs so that students can maintain their education in public school long term. And then just really, again, figuring out how we can elevate some of the existing programs that already exist in Manasquan.
Any questions? Thank you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allotted for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on the items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, we'll move to the public forum on non-agenda items. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, we'll move to the discussion items.
Regarding the education curriculum and technology, we have a revised calendar regarding half days for pre-K conferences, and that's on the agenda this evening, as you can see, for 2022 and 2023. Now I'm going to invite the principals to step forward. I've asked the principals to put together a three-year look ahead on how they can see the district developing in regards to each school, the upper and lower elementary school, as well as the high school. And seeing the new curriculums that we're bringing in, what their goals and objectives are, and how they see us moving forward. So having said that, I don't know if Jackie, you and Megan are going to report together.
Yes.
As one school. So we will do that first. So this is the Manasquan Elementary School Warrior three-year plan, and I can see the goals there. So ladies, please.
Great. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for being here to discuss what to us is very exciting information. It's really the culmination of our opportunity to collaborate and really think about and reflect upon what we want Manasquan Elementary School to look like this coming school year, also what we want it to look like in the coming years as we continue to work on some goals. So just want to set up for you, I'm going to be discussing goals 1, 2, and 3 with you here at the outset, and it's because those three goals are connected. So goal 1 for us is about our curriculum and really taking a close look at the needs of our district, making sure that the curriculum that we have in all of our content areas is the most efficient, up-to-date, it's really hitting those standards, and we're getting the student achievement that we're hoping to see. Goal 2 is about us developing a multi-tiered system of support for all learners. So that's really our intervention plans and how we're going to be working with students who maybe are not meeting those initial benchmarks or those performance objectives. And then goal 3 is really about us revising and strengthening our gifted and talented program to better serve our students who maybe are, you know, showing some proclivity in various areas. So we'll get into each one of these in a little bit. But our goal with those three pieces is that we're meeting the needs of the mass of our students with our strong curriculum. And then we're taking a look at our students at the top end of that spectrum and saying, okay, what can we do to push and challenge and support our learners in that way? And then our students who are not quite, you know, reaching those benchmarks, what can we do as a school to better support them? So hopefully we're gonna hit all of our students with these first three goals.
Yeah. And then continuing on in 4 and 5, they are also connected. Taking a look at goal 4, we are looking to expand our in-house preschool. We want to increase enrollment and the students' exposure to our school experience and community as soon as possible. And also goal 5 of restructuring our school climate. We're really focusing on social-emotional learning, but also having the students feel safe, happy, and included, and supported throughout their learning journey at MES. So again, the pre-K, we want to get them in as young as we can, so we could really build that communal feel as they progress through our school system.
And one of the reasons I sort of changed the structure tonight, as you can see, the principals are reporting during the committee of a whole, is to afford the opportunity to ask questions about their 3-year look ahead if you have any. So we can get down to more particulars and specifics.
So our first goal, we'll get into just a little bit in more detail. Just could you advance that slide for me? Thank you so much. So goal 1 is about really looking at making sure that we're implementing best practices, everything is in alignment with the standards, and also continuing to generate new courses. So this year we have really focused on the implementation. We're rolling out our new science curriculum this year. One of the big pushes for us in examining our science curriculum is the fact that our students were performing very well in the classroom. They were doing extremely well with the materials that they had. You know, the teachers were feeling successful with the kids, but then some of that wasn't always playing out in our science scores. And it really just turns out that some of the materials and things that we were using weren't necessarily reaching the level of the next generation science standards. So for us, it was a priority in taking a look at a new science curriculum to provide materials to our teachers and to our students that was really going to hit the level that those standards are requiring these days. So that's going to really be a big push for us this year. But in addition, we're going to continue to look at the Ready Math rollout. Again, it's year 2 for grades 7 and 8. It's year 3 this year for grades K-6. Continuing with the professional development for grades 7 and 8, and then really building upon using the tools that are in the Ready Math curriculum. Our next year plan, our goal, you know, is to roll out a new literacy curriculum. So we're this year going to be establishing a committee where we're going to be taking a look at that and really thinking about the needs of our students. Over time, we've noticed that we have a lot of kids in supplemental reading who are requiring different forms of support later years. And so what that tells us is that we really need to look at some of the root causes in our literacy program and address that sooner. So we're going to be looking closely at phonics, phonemic awareness, a number of different things when we take a look at our literacy program. Go ahead.
Yeah, just for the board's edification, I know you know that, but I just want to focus on it right now. As we move in to this year, looking at a new science curriculum, and next year looking at a new language arts literacy curriculum, then within the last 4 years, we have focused on 3 new curriculums for the basic foundation of the elementary school. And this has not been done in a vacuum. This has been done with Rick also reaching out to the sending district to let them know the science and the math curriculums that we are choosing, and also invite them in to sit through not only the trainings, but sit through the presentations of the companies that are coming here. So we continue that transition or that coordination with the Children's Youth Center District.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and we really, in my mind, this is done on our road to that blue ribbon that we're looking for.
Right.
Because as you build up that curriculum, you're going to see the fruits of this hard work at the end of the five-year period. So we're about 2 years away from seeing that, which I think is awesome.
Yeah. So it's all of the decisions that we're making are based upon the data, you know, and based upon our observations of what's going on in our classroom and taking a look at our students' needs. And then we're trying to make sure that we're making targeted decisions about curriculum and implementation based upon that, with the goal of improving student performance and ultimately getting us into that blue ribbon category that we're all seeking. Another part of that for us is providing new opportunities for our students as well. So I know Rick discussed with you some of the new, you know, curricula that we're introducing, and Jackie will talk a little bit about that. Podcasting is an exciting addition to grade 7 this year. Multimedia literacy has been a fan favorite for a long time, becomes an elective in grade 8. But we are really seeking to make sure that our teachers are prepared to use the new curriculum in the most effective way, and that we're rolling out these new curricula with a lot of fidelity to the programs, because we spent a lot of time researching just the right programs to get these things into place. For us, a goal would be in the coming years for us to think about how to best support our teachers with a position such as an instructional coach. We think that would be something that would be really effective and helpful at the elementary level to help out in PLCs, to provide on-the-spot modeling, planning support for our teachers. It is a lot when you're learning a number of new curricula at once. So it is a goal of ours, you know, in these coming years to hopefully see that come to fruition too. But in the meantime, we're supporting a lot in the PLCs, providing a lot of professional development as well.
So you're looking at the instructional coach position being in the year 23-24?
Ideally, yes. Because that's the year we're rolling out hopefully the new literacy curriculum, and that would be a really important role in that. Okay.
And just to dive a little bit deeper into our kindergarten focus group, I know Ms. Rapola had spoken a little bit about it, but I just want to go into a little bit more detail here, because this is the start of the 3-year transition for our literacy block. Now, next year, we are looking to move to a new curriculum. However, this year is more focused on in kindergarten. We are putting together a focus group of those teachers to implement specifics about the pedagogical design, the lesson design, so that we can integrate assessments more frequently. And this is not, it's a pen and paper test. It is those running records to ensure that there are not just 3 times a year when the students are being monitored and challenged, assessed to be able to get them an appropriate level of rigor for their guided reading group. So part of what we are looking to do is being able to utilize and collect that data ongoing in the classroom setting. And I think this will be...
That's one of the most exciting things I've heard over. And I just want to stop and pause here. Running records. And so assessments are continuous throughout the year, say just 3 times during the year, and having a group of teachers on the kindergarten level put together. And then looking at the possibility of 6 pre-K classes to set a foundation for the district, that's going to push us where we want to go. So that, and no one else looked as excited as I was, and my heart was skipping beat when I heard that, so I just had to stop and say, Jackie, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're very excited.
I'm so am I, and I want the board to be excited about this as well. This is good stuff. Thank you.
And so eventually we are looking to increase that, right? We're focusing on kindergarten level. Next year will be kindergarten and grade 1. We want to do it correctly and with fidelity. So I want to make sure that we are targeting specific grade levels so we can grow with time. And then lastly, the intro to band course. Again, I know Mr. Cole kind of spoke about it. This is really important to me to allow students to be able to be knowledgeable before making a selection and committing to a full-time elective or choice rather in grade 5. So I think it's really important for the students to know about the instruments so that they can also grow an appreciation for it.
Let's halt there for a second because Pete, I forgot, and I knew I had known this, but it just, anyway, my question is, we are going to cover the cost of instruments in the 5th year or the 4th year, or when are we doing that?
The kids in band, five through eight, anyone who requires a band rental, we are covering.
And then grade four, the first two semesters is just a general knowledge theory kind of course, and then in the second semester, they'll be able to select an instrument if they choose. Otherwise, they would go back to the homeroom teacher for specialized projects.
That's really going to impact the band being developed, I think, by affording the child the opportunity for the district to cover the cost of that instrument.
We do have a bank of some instruments that we can loan out now, and then we have that. So we're just gathering that information now from the students who selected band as their electives. And as part of goal number one, it's really a priority for us to capture those interests of our students to say, you know, can we expand our elective offerings in year two and year three as we get electives off the ground this year? You know, what are the students really interested in? What's going to capture them? And then how can we staff those so that we can make sure that our students are receiving those choices?
You know, I really think math, science, language arts, they're so important. But electives at the middle level really should be a priority for us, because that's a time when students can actually dip their foot in the water and find out what they really like as they move to the high school.
Absolutely.
And
yep.
Have a focus. And Pete, thanks for finding that money for the band. That's awesome.
Thank you, Pete. Okay, so moving on to goal two. Goal two is really about our multi-tiered system of support. So multi-tiered system of support is, you know, sort of a fancy way of discussing the different levels of support that students will need. All students are going to get great curriculum in their classroom. That's our goal and priority. But then we have tier one students who maybe will require some additional supports from the teacher to be successful. They may be a little bit behind. We have tier two students who potentially might need support from our specialists, our team, our reading specialist, our math support, in addition to the classroom teacher providing them with additional supports. And then a tier three student would be the kind of student who requires an individualized plan, right? They might need extra tutoring time, extra work with a specialized intervention. So our INRS committee has really been revamped over time. Jackie's gonna talk a little bit about that, and the goal of that being that we're taking a look at the individuals who are struggling or who are demonstrating some level of need, whether that's social emotional, whether that's academic, right, whether that's through attendance, and then we're developing a really, really targeted intervention plan for that child. We're giving them the supports, and then we scaffold back from those supports that they can kind of stand on their own and meet those requirements. We're doing this as a whole team. It's really important to us that we have some distributed leadership in this way with our INRS team. And I'll let Jackie talk a little bit about what our team's been up to.
So last year we spent a lot of time collecting data and organizing tools so that everybody was kind of on the same page and able to review the data that we discussed each week in our INRS meetings. So we really developed the process, you know, the processes and things like that. How do we analyze? What data are we analyzing? And how are we collecting data from people to be able to properly make decisions and scaffold these supports? The next step is really identifying what those exit and entry requirements are. You know, it's not something that is like cut and dry that you can say, okay, you get this score, you get this. You know, we look at the whole child, we look at their SAL, they do, you know, readiness, we look at their overall performance in class and other factors. So it is a really comprehensive look at the student, and so it's important that we have a way to track that as we discuss them throughout the school year. The next thing that I'd like to speak about is that the INRS team spent some time this summer identifying how we are going to deliver this presentation to staff. And in the first couple of days of school, we are putting together what that looks like. What is INRS, what's the function of INRS, and what's the teacher's role in that? You know, and based on the tiers, the teachers have different responsibilities, and that it's important for us to all be on the same page. And this will help the teachers to also help us in the process of identifying students and providing those supports. So it's a really exciting time. The team has been working very hard on delivering, you know, getting ready to deliver this presentation.
You know, we're really looking at progress monitoring our students. So if they are in an intervention cycle, if they are receiving supports, that we're doing frequent check-ins to see how they're progressing, knowing that if we need to, we can change course or we can continue if they need some additional time. So that part is really, really important as well. As part of this multi-tiered system of support, our ELLs, as we mentioned earlier, are going to be getting that sheltered instruction in the classroom. With us training additional teachers, it gives us a lot more flexibility with scheduling ELLs with teachers who really understand how to provide their supports. Those are the English language learners. how we can provide that high level of support for them. So that will be a part of our multi-tier system of supports as well.
Just the acronym, INRS, can you just explain that?
Intervention and Referral Service. So intervention and referral service really means, when students are having trouble, the teachers come to us to provide intervention. If a student is not responding to intervention, ultimately that may end up in a referral to the Child Study Team for Special Education Services. But we're able to, through a really dedicated intervention process, weed out a lot of kids who maybe just need some academic supports, maybe just need a little more time or something to be taught in a slightly different way, and really weed out that from actual learning problems that students might have.
That I thought was very important, and distributive leadership is something I've spoken about tonight. Distributive leadership is the essence of collaboration. And there's nothing that can really build morale better in school than letting the staff know that you're listening and that you value their opinion and that you're building programs based on what the holistic view of that school system is, and that's distributive leadership. And I didn't say that, you did. And I want to thank you for that, because you brought that to the Manasquan Elementary School. The fact that every teacher in their classrooms not only valued for what they do with the students, but valued for what they think. And let's move forward together.
Right.
That's what's going to make us great.
Absolutely.
So thank you.
Absolutely, of course. So goal three is going to really target our students who are sort of at the top of our achievement list, right? These are gifted and talented program. As we reviewed it, there was some room for improvement there. So we have really, really spent a lot of time thinking about the data that we can collect and use to help identify students as gifted and talented, not only as blanket gifted and talented, but gifted and talented in the humanities or literacy, gifted and talented in STEM areas, or gifted and talented in the visual or performing arts. And then what that allows us to do is to better target programming for students who are, a student may be gifted and talented in all those areas, or they may only be, considered gifted and talented in visual performing arts, or perhaps only in STEM. So we want to be able to provide them with both differentiation in the classroom that will help move them forward, but also provide them with some specialized programming that will give them some novel experiences that they're going to be working on with the other kids who are identified as gifted and talented. So we have a collaborative group of individuals who have some dedicated time in their schedules to be working on this Gifted and Talented initiative. They're going to be helping us to plan and implement these experiences throughout the course of the year in humanities, in STEM, in visual and performing arts. And we're making sure that the schedule is set up in such a way that's going to allow that to be successful, but also that the teachers really understand the charge of how to push and challenge students in these individual groups. So that part is really important.
Yeah. And then also, as part of designing this schedule, this year for K-5, we have a common planning period. What that means is, let's say grade 2 is off period 3 throughout the week. And the goal of this, it was twofold, right? So it's definitely beneficial for the teachers to have that common planning time to discuss students, other than the dedicated PLC time, which is directed differently. So it does give them a lot of time to be able to plan together. But what this also does is it increases the consistency in the teaching time, the time that they're spending teaching. And this, in turn, sets us up to be able to integrate a what I need period, that win period. So this year, we're going to start to explore what that might look like at the third and fourth grade levels, hopefully with an implementation of in school year 23-24 of that what I need period in grades 3 and 4. One of the things that I have realized in a lot of my research with the WIN periods is that it has to be very specific and carefully planned, otherwise it could be ineffective. So for me this year, I want to make sure that the schedule works as we have it set in the way that we have it set, and we'll start to explore with that third and fourth grade so it can be homegrown and we can develop it from within.
So that would allow us, and what I need period would allow us to provide that dedicated gifted and talented instruction just during the course of the student's regular school day. It also gives us space to provide intervention for kids just within the span of their regular school day, without having to pull out from any subjects or experiences that they might have otherwise. And it also allows for a lot of reinforcement. So that's a big goal of ours, to get the WIN period in there as well.
Yeah. All right, so then goal four is the expansion of the pre-K program. As you know, this year we increased our load. We have now two pre-K 4 classes that are full day. and our one pre-K three half, or two pre-K three half day sessions. Part of getting the students into Manasquan Elementary as soon as possible is again about building community among our students, but also being able to get them in so that we can, you know, get to know the student prior to them entering kindergarten. One of my goals for over the next couple of years is to take a look at the trend, the progress monitoring in our pre-K program and in the kindergarten readiness. You know, how are our students performing in kindergarten in relation to, in comparison to other preschool programs? I think that we would find that our students are very successful because our pre-K and our kindergarten teachers work so closely together to make sure that it's a smooth transition for our students. You know, getting a jump start in pre-K will definitely help our students to have a leg up while entering kindergarten. One of the things that we'll be doing next year, our teachers, the pre-K teachers have a goal of participating in PLCs with sending districts. So we'll definitely make use of that time to be able to comment, you know, plan and see what's going on in other districts. And I had mentioned maybe having them go on site visits and things like that so that we could really make sure that we're taking the best of what we can see and trying to implement it into our program. All right, and then lastly, goal five is restructuring the school climate. And this is going to look a little bit differently at the lower elementary than it is in the upper elementary. One of the things that I would really like to embed the feeling within the lower elementary is what it means to be a warrior. You know, a lot of times in my conversations with students, you know, when maybe things didn't go the way they probably should have on the playground that day, I ask them, like, what does it mean to you to be a warrior? You know, and I want to develop that pride in the school. And help have the students feel safe, secure, included. And part of that will be in collaboration with students and our counselors and building out some programming using our counselors and, you know, and also our ELL counselor to make sure that we are reaching out to the students and the families to make sure that everybody who is all of our stakeholders really feel supported and included in our environment.
In middle school, student voice and student choice is, you know, really important. It's sort of at the forefront of what I've been trying to do with our middle school. So this year, Mr. Sinelli and I are implementing a Community Warriors program. These are going to be students who are going to both volunteer and be, you know, identified and backed by our staff members as kids who can really be champions for inclusivity, and they can really give a voice to what the student experience is here at Manasquan Elementary School. So those students will be engaging in some training and some activities, you know, with their peers to make sure that everybody has somebody to play with at recess. Everybody has somebody to sit with at lunch. That everybody who, when people are new, that they really have, you know, some welcoming and friendly faces. And they're also going to be sort of an advisory panel for us to talk about what are the issues that students are currently facing, right? So if we have an example, you know, of gossip, let's say there's a lot of gossip going on, it's very hurtful, and, you know, kids are getting really upset, it's causing a lot of conflict. We would talk about that with our peers, talk about, you know, what's happening with your classmates, and then there's going to be monthly meetings with each of the grade levels during lunchtime with Mr. Sinelli and myself, where we talk through, we're gonna give some strategies and some tips and tools for kids to work through this. So this will really be driven by what the student experiences, what the needs are of our students, and our community warriors are gonna be, you know, part of the key to making that happen. In addition to some of those supports, we're putting this social emotional learning elective in place in grades 5-8. It's a lot of mindfulness. There's a lot of opportunity for kids to explore some sort of non-electronic hobbies that maybe they can pursue that don't involve like looking at a screen, to really kind of get back to the idea of being present and engaging in an activity. I think that's really important for our kids. But in addition, there's some really great research-based materials that we're going to be using to help kids really build some skills in these areas. So it's not just about, you know, deep breathing and all that, although it is inclusive of that, but it's also going to be about really what are the essential skills that kids need at each of those various grade levels to be strong students. So between that and a push towards positive behavior supports in coming years, as we really take a look at working together with our staff to provide a shift from, you know, thinking in terms of like consequences and discipline and thinking in terms of supports and strategizing, I think that's gonna make a big difference in our school climate. So our goal, as you can see from our five goals here, is really that we're hitting every student in every way that we possibly can. We wanna make sure that we're providing a solid educational foundation, that we're really pushing and challenging our students who need that, that we're really providing those supports. We're gonna continue to roll out student choice. We're gonna make sure that we're addressing you know, all of these social emotional pieces that are really so critical today. But at the same time, we're going to try to get our families really in feeling a part of things early, you know, with preschool, getting more families involved in our school, making sure that it's an inclusive place. So that's really our vision for the next few years. It's a lot of work, but we're excited to do it. It's the good things that we that keep us going, right, on the hard days as we think about all the great things that we can do.
Excellent. You have to have a vision. You have to design that vision. You have to know where you want to go and then build a plan on how to get there. I think that's what you did tonight for us, and the floor is open. If you have any questions, we focused on, not we, but you focused on the intellectual piece first, then the social and emotional, and the all-encompassing, making students feel comfortable in their environment. And I think it's a great feature. So,
yeah, I think it's nice work.
Thank you.
Apparently, you guys put a lot of thought and time into this, and it shows. Very exciting. Very exciting. So, love it.
Appreciate that. We really think this is going to make us really viable blue ribbon candidates, you know, in the next few years. They really do look at, the committee, blue ribbon committees really look at not only your academic achievement and performance, but also what are you offering to kids, what's the climate like, all of those things. So I think addressing all of it is going to really help us to drive that process. Yes.
Hi. I'm very, very good, by the way, very good. I'm still stuck on the first bullet of year one, goal one, by the way.
Okay, we can go back.
There's a lot of information to absorb. But we have, our building has a population of about 450 students, right? 75 to 80% of which are going to come here, right? Would you, Frank and everyone here consider a, you know, a plan to have a discussion with some of the other districts about this?
I would embrace that, without doubt.
I mean, it's just tremendous.
I think that we should have a forum where we invite the superintendents, principals, and we present this. That's why we're so open with the curriculums that we're choosing, be it science, math, or language arts literacy. And we invite any of the sending districts that want to come and sit through the presentations and then give us their opinions about what we're doing. And ready math is something that, you know, several districts are utilizing as we speak. We realize that high school is 67% of the sending districts. And it's an us philosophy. Every graduation that I have the privilege to be at and speak at, I make that mention to the 2,500 people that are here on the football field. I said, it's neat for me to see six sending districts coming together with Manasquan, and then we graduated from that. Without a doubt, yes.
That would be fabulous.
Get to participate in that shared professional development we spoke about with Deanne Opatowski. So we do communicate quite a bit with the sending districts during those professional development sessions, because we try our best to attend those sessions as well, along with their leadership. And then we also have had, you know, quite a few opportunities to meet. Where usually we'll meet on Teams or on Zoom, because it's easier than everybody kind of physically getting together. But we do try to talk through some of these things, you know, in curriculum meetings. But I do think that some of the changes that we're making to our schedule to allow these things to happen, you know, you notice we're not adding a bunch of staff. We're utilizing, right, you know, existing things in
That's
a new way
part.
To
yeah.
try to try to make these things happen. So it would be great for us to talk about that with other districts.
Yeah, I would support formally having you reach out to the sending districts and set up several meetings during the year where you can present this plan, have an open forum, talk about it. You know, we'll supply some beverages so you can chat and chew.
Great.
And make everybody feel relaxed. So, yes.
Great. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
So it is super exciting and very ambitious, and the focus on the individualized, making it a program that works for every student is phenomenal and very welcome. My only, not question, but with all the new curriculums, I'm sure comes lots of new technology and applications. I loved your reference to adding some electives where there's, you know, some downtime from that during the school day. But is that something, balancing both the new technology and the new curriculums, the push to achieve with the social emotional, that you'll be looking at, like how the faculty is using technology at the different levels.
Yeah, it's definitely something that we, you know, I think that we need to take a close look at, the use of technology, because we all know it swung really far in a certain direction, you know, during the pandemic, and then trying to swing students back in the other direction has been challenging. I think we know that instructional technology is a critical piece of what we do, the use of our learning management systems, you know, all of those are things we're really invested in. However, you know, teaching is separate from those materials and those tools that we use. So I think that for a lot of the discussion, it's about building in protocols for when the technology is appropriate and necessary, and when more traditional instructional methods are important, so that across a student day, there's a lot more balance than the fact that the computer is open in front of them all day and they're maybe interacting with that more. And then certainly the electives and building those things and rotations, things like that, into place for us are opportunities in a student's day where they're getting less of that, right? They're less exposed to technology during those, because those are more hands-on by nature. I'm excited about our new science curriculum. It's very hands-on in nature. So of course there are electronic components, you know, of the curriculum piece, but the next generation science standards really demand that kids are doing science, you know, physically performing science activities. So those kits are all rolling in, and a lot of that is hands-on. So I think that's going to be a big, you know, that's going to be a big support in that too. But certainly taking a look is really important.
And I think that just looking at how the technology is being used, not just to use it, one of the things in our third and fourth grade, we are really tackling the use of Desmos Student Classroom, which is a technological tool, but not only, it's not just technology, it's just a forum to be able to, you know, have the students engage in discussion, right? So part of it is taking a look at a problem from the ReadyMap and at different students' approaches, and being able to utilize that tool to really instigate discussion is a really powerful thing that is only slightly with them on the screen, you know? So I think that if we utilize these potent tools in a way that can expand conversation, we are doing two things at once.
So point well taken about the technology.
Ace, thank you very much. Seeing no other questions, I now want to move to our high school vision for the next 3 years.
Thank you, Dr. Page.
Mr. Goodall.
As I begin, just some organizational tidbits, and this will all go out tomorrow in a letter to parents and students and the staff. We were able to, thank you, Dr. Crowley, working with the sending superintendents to recapture some of the instructional time that we lost as a result of some difficulties with busing. And, you know, we extended our instructional day to 2/24. And I want to thank Dr. Crowley and the sending students to work with us. We lost some instructional time. And we were able to capture, because having that extra instructional time will certainly improve our student outcomes. A little bit more is our code of conduct. Annually, the board has to look at our code of conduct. And as we went through our process with NJQSAC last year, we revised some of the material, but so that we really had to take a deep dive into looking and updating our code of conduct to align with NJQSAC, but also what we do here. And most important, you'll see, if you do this, you get a detention. If you do this, you get in-school suspension. It's pretty self-explanatory discipline chart. But most important, just next slide. One of the feedbacks that we got, especially post-COVID, was difficult, and we want students here, and certainly if there's a doctor's appointment or something very special, they need to miss school or be late, but we really need to have the kids here and hold them accountable to that. Not so much with the discipline was it a big problem. We don't have a lot of discipline problems, in my opinion, that other high schools have. But certainly, we can improve on attendance and especially tardiness to school. It's a great place as Manasquan is. In the morning, it's a little hectic out here, but we have to tie up some of the accountability to get kids here on time. So we have some thresholds, and we tie it to some of the activities that kids are involved with, whether it's co-curricular or athletics, and we put some things in place here that very few students will probably ever get to this. In fact, in terms of discipline, none of our students got to it last year. We looked at that. But they did get to it with the thresholds of attendance. and to our units. So I think it's important that the kids are here and that they're on time. Certainly, there's an avenue going through me and the vice principals about special occasions when they have to be late or tardy to school, but I think this will tighten us up and a way to look forward with our plan to strengthen, you know, the best results for all of our kids here. And that's just in the tardiness portion of the new code of conduct. John Wooden was the men's basketball coach at UCLA. He was an incredible planner. And he won 10 national champions, and he has a lot of great quotes. This is one of my favorites. It's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. So attention, Dr. Cajun stresses attention to detail, so that's all part of this plan. I think it's important to just quickly review some of the things that we've done. Even some of this was before I was here as a principal, because we were doing a lot of great things here. There's a lot of upgrading of the facilities, and it's still ongoing. The addition of the science labs, the HVAC, just the general cleaning up of the classrooms, flooring, certainly the new complex that's being completed out in the back, has all given our kids the best facilities to be successful. But with that, then you have to have the program to match the great facilities. We introduced a new flexible schedule. I think it's in its fifth year of rotating schedule. We've introduced rigorous courses, and all of that complemented existing offerings here at Manasquan High School, because we have a lot of great things going. We increased our we just spoke about articulation with the sending districts. Mrs. Kenny and her guidance counselors go down, talk to the kids all of the time. And, you know, I think we've done a real great job of providing freshman orientation and eighth grade orientations. So all this is a part of making kids feel comfortable coming to Manasquan High School to be successful. And I thought we did a nice job, you know, during COVID, during the time when we were alternating day, and then even last year there was a bit of a post-COVID issues that we handled pretty well and had a great school year. Mr. Coppola touched on a couple of different things that we've done. Obviously, I'm very excited about Project Lead the Way. For me, a strong STEM academy at a high school should be the heavy part of your academy system. And evolving our engineering academy into a full STEM academy is the goal. We introduced AP Physics, and we completed our second year, and the kids did a lot better on our AP test. And looking forward to with the retirement of Dr. Buckley, Mr. Chang has taken over AP Physics, so I know the kids are excited to work with him. Mr. Coppola touched on, we created an AP action plan. We were happy with our results, and we had some great results in the first year of that action plan. Mrs. Kenny is part of a committee here and working with college admissions officers and feedback from other college coaches in the community and the teachers, adjusted our grading scale to reflect, to put our students in the best possible way of success and getting access to better colleges and universities. We differentiated the weighting on feedback from students and teachers and community on advanced placement and honors courses. And Mr. Coppola went over some of the courses that we've introduced. One that's been a great course in business is sports and entertainment marketing. We've done the two engineering classes. We're adding architecture and design this year. For kids who have an interest in dance, we have several levels of dance, and we've renovated the studio to make it larger to accommodate that population. Even for kids who like to work with their hands, whether they're college bound or maybe even non-college bound, we reinvigorated our IA building to have courses down there, materials and methods one and two, and construction technology. If you recall back, pre-COVID, we talked about establishing partnerships with construction companies that are local, and we have some big ones here, so we're going to be looking to do that now that, you know, we're post-COVID. Very excited about the results of our online summer session pilot this summer. You know, Rob, I got some feedback. It's you're the principal at a beach town. Kids don't like to do things in the summer. And we were determined to prove that theory wrong, and I think we were very successful. We had about 25 students working with Mrs. Koning and Mrs. Holler. I really appreciate the work that they put in. And the purpose of having these opportunities for kids is to free up opportunities during the regular school year. We talked about access to some of the Project Lead the Way electives. By doing the online Microsoft financial literacy class, kids can actually take that introductory to biomedical sciences in ninth grade, where if they hadn't done that, they wouldn't be able to do it. So I'm going to talk about how we're proposing to expand that next year. When I first got here, I talked about implementing the seal of biliteracy. I want to thank Mrs. Mineta. She kind of took that over. So for the first time this year, kids can get that recognition for being proficient in two or more languages. So that's a great recognition for kids who are involved in that program. And we instituted the Math Honor Society to complement National Honor Society, World Language Honor Society, the Mathematics Honor Society is actually called, if you see it, I had to write this down because it's very unique, the Mu Alpha Theta Society is the National Math Society. So, you know, kids, besides being in the National Honor Society, get recognition in subject areas where they have a passion for. And, you know, we have kids who, watching the inductions, they're getting it in three different subject areas, so it's great.
I think just focus on the seal of biliteracy for a second. That's done through a testing process.
That's correct.
Right? And when is that testing going to be held?
It's in the spring. Mm-hmm. There's a window in which you have to give them. There's a number of different tests that the district can elect to give in that case.
Have we elected what tests to give yet?
I think Mrs. Pollack is currently taking a look at the tests. We have some recommendations from some other districts that have done it. Like, okay, what are the best tests, you know, to give? But the key about the seal of biliteracy is that it will allow our students who are already bilingual, you know, who are coming in to us perhaps speaking Spanish and English as their second language, they are able to achieve the seal of biliteracy if they prove a baseline of proficiency in both those languages. And then also our students who dig deep into their language study, which is our hope that by, you know, creating that opportunity for kids to finish French 1, Spanish 1, Italian 1 at the elementary school, we'll have more kids going into deeper language study at the high school, and then more kids will be able to get this seal of biliteracy on their transcript, which is a leg up when they're going to college, and, you know, will be a leg up, you know, going out into the world. And always, you know, being bilingual is a big bonus.
Yeah, as focusing as we have tonight on differentiation and the needs of individual students, I think giving them the opportunity for that to be on their transcript is very notable for the school district. So that's why I'm very excited about that, and I just didn't want to gloss over that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Rick will be reporting on exactly what tests we chose next time we meet, so the board can get an idea of what we're going to be doing in the spring. I think that's awesome. Thanks.
So, well, that's a lot, but that's all we've done in the past. Now we're going to talk about the future.
Good.
So what do we want to do? The academies are a big deal here at Manasquan High School. When we went to high school, when we chose electives, it was more exploratory. I can recall being in a woodshop class and then running to my AP World History class. And you can still do that when you come to Manasquan High School. But many of our kids are looking for an interest in career-focused academy to motivate them to pursue, and it always doesn't work out, but a lot of our kids it does, pursue, you know, college majors at great colleges and universities that lead them a pathway into a professional career. So we've been successful, Academy of Finance, I've mentioned engineering, and now I'm trying to expand it into a STEM, recognizing biomedical sciences and computer sciences with it. But we want to evolve our academies, as successful as they've been, to meet the needs of the kids as we move forward in 2022. We want to meet and create programs to meet the needs of all children in a nurturing and safe environment, school safety, and also some of the kids who need extra support. Mrs. Steffich was talking about some of the things that she's been doing since she came in. We introduced science in the kitchen as a program for kids. But, you know, not forgetting about every child in the building, we want to continue to grow programs to support them. I talked about the facilities. We want to make sure that our academic and co-curricular programs meet the innovation of the leadership that Dr. Cajun has shown in the Board of Ed in doing all of these facilities. The programs should match the facilities that you have. And then again, to stress student achievement, you know, mandating rigor in the classroom on all levels and resulting in the best student outcomes for every student. That's been very exciting. It's part of our administrative team and working with teachers. You know, just an example, the AP action plan in year one, we saw some great results. So we're stressing rigor, we're stretching success and student outcomes, but you know, we're not finished. So we talked about Manasquan High School summer online learning. We're proposing next year as we develop courses that we do the sports and entertainment marketing and also developing a new social media internet marketing course. I've spoken to a number of kids who have decided to major in even in communications, and you know, going back, I think my dad would have said, well, you're not going to major in communications, you have to be either political science or business or try to be a doctor. But this is very popular amongst this generation of students and our next workforce. So classes in social media marketing, and we talked about across all of our core courses what we can offer kids that they would be successful on an online version. And for now, we're holding off on sciences because of the lab work and mathematics because we want the support of the teacher directly in front of you know, our students. But some of these classes are lending themselves more towards some of the other subjects. So you know, forgive me if you're into sciences, this is what we've talked about so far. Also, social studies, that we can deliver content in exciting, kids who are excited about history or law and government, that we could deliver content to them in the summer online, and that will free up and for us to increase the basket of opportunities for kids if they want to go on to law school or work, major in political science and work with legislatures or work in government. And I'll get to talking about the Public Safety Academy in a minute. And then in the following year, just expanding some of the courses, I'm excited to bring, this is something I introduced in my previous high school, the introduction of intro to law and introduction of constitutional law, and then following up at 225 principles of marketing. So all these, this would be a basket of courses that all of our kids could take online in the summer for advancement to have access to other classes on interest and also make them you know, better candidates to go on to better colleges and universities. It's all about access.
So all these classes will be new classes that we need to have the curriculum?
So we have, now we, for next summer, I'm proposing we do civil action and democracy. If you saw Mr. Polis, this is a new class that in person we're doing this year.
Okay, so my point is that these classes are going to be online.
Correct.
Even if we have the current curriculum, those curriculums have to be modified so that you then be taught online effectively. So we should plan for that curriculum writing and that curriculum development?
Yes.
Okay. And then, like we have talked about, I think you do a great job communicating. This has to be communicated through the great job that you do out to the everyone so they know that these classes are existing when the time comes.
Yeah.
I know we're looking at up to 2025. I think
well, this would be offered to the entire high school.
Right.
Actually.
Good. Any questions?
What percentage?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What percentage of students do you anticipate, like, will take advantage of this as they, as the years roll out, it becomes well known?
We anticipate anywhere from 18 to 24 students per class.
Sorry, Pete.
So those will be offered online over the summer? Will they also,
right.
will they also be offered during the school year in person?
Some of them are already classes on our books and our program of studies, and we want to develop them. And it's all on interest, as some of the electives are not as popular as they used to be, you know, on their interest in surveying them, what they would be interested in. We're developing these courses.
Would this theoretically accelerate, we have a required body of courses, right, to graduate?
Right.
So with somebody taking these courses over the summer, and I presume if somebody wanted to, they could take more than one.
That's right.
So would this potentially accelerate somebody's time to graduation?
Every child here has an opportunity to take 160 credits. We require 150 to graduate from Manasquan High School. And by taking courses in the summer, they actually would have additional credits on their transcript.
Right.
So you, in theory, could have 180 opportunities, credit opportunities.
Right, okay. Which I have to assume would be beneficial to the college.
Absolutely. And Mrs. Kenny knows in scheduling at times, you know, it's just the way the schedule plays out, you know, they miss an opportunity to take a class because they have to take another class. Mm-hmm. This allows them the freedom to, you know, have more opportunities either during the year or in the summer.
Okay. Well, makes sense.
So I discussed the Academy of Public Safety, talking to Dr. Pajan, that you know, it's a great academy. Mr. Pagan does a great job with it. But I'd like to see some of our kids be the next Attorney General of New Jersey, or you know, people working in government. It's a good people working in government and in politics and the legislature. So we want to expand the academy to include law, government, and public safety. And by doing that, we would like to add some of these classes. We're not limited to this, but these are some of the classes that we've discussed that you know, the kids would benefit from in having this as potential career focus and perhaps major in that in college, to be attorneys or legislators. And the most important piece that I found with an academy is that the kids should have a capstone class at the end of their presence in that academy. And we were proposing, these are classes that I had at my previous school, Contemporary Issues in Government. And that focuses on local, state, federal, and international law and current events. And they have to culminate with a presentation to a panel of area professionals. So I might involve some of our local elected officials, some attorneys that we might know, perhaps someone in this room would like to help us, where the kids would present, I don't want to call it Shark Tank, I'm leaving that to the Academy of Finance, but having them present to officials and getting feedback from authentic, you know, feedback from people in the profession is invaluable to kids, and really encourages them and motivates them to pursue that. So in terms of our business department, we have a great and popular Academy of Finance. We just wanted to, one, and I spoke about that when we did the survey of co-curriculars, one of the things that kids wanted to do was to do the Future Business Leaders of America, where they do kind of the same thing. They develop a business plan and a business project. They present and you know, compete statewide and then eventually nationally. Linda Holler has taken this on, and she's exploring, because I guess at some point here, years and years ago, we did have a charter for this. They haven't used it for a while. So we're reinvigorating that charter and recruiting kids to come to FBLA from the Academy of Finance. And I think in the end, over time, when we develop this, this is going to be a big hit. And, you know, in my previous school district, we've sent kids to California to compete nationally against other kids. So with that, we want to expand as a call to have some more marketing within the business department. So these are some of the courses that we're proposing to develop, again, limited to that. And then finally, in the third year, to create a senior business seminar, a capstone course, and end of the year presentations, panel of business and finance professionals. We already have that with the Academy Board. We can invite Mark Cuban if he wants to come down. But I think that's again, authentic experiences for the kids, and for them to collaborate on those things are important in their development. All schools who have academies, the largest interest is always STEM. And we had very successful engineering courses. Mrs. Edwards has done a wonderful job in evolving that into connecting with Project Lead the Way. She's our coordinator for that. And at some point this year, I'm going to recommend that we relabel our engineering academy a STEM academy. You know, the acronym Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics. We talked about, Mr. Coppola talked about this year, we're adding our third class, which is civil engineering and architecture. There's a nice enrollment in that class. We are introducing, for the first time, biomedical sciences this year, as well as human body systems. Human body systems is very similar to our anatomy class, so we're working with the teacher to kind of blend those so that, you know, we're fully Project Lead the Way, and that could happen the following year. Recommending, the following school year, we transition to that STEM Academy with the addition of, as a very rigorous AP class, Physics C. We offer, because we're novices at offering AP Physics, Physics 1, they also have Physics 2, and you can blend those classes and then bring in the extremely rigorous Physics C that they have in other classes, and for kids who want to be pre-engineering at colleges and universities, having Physics C within your program of studies is very, very important. So we'll get there. We're going to be continuing to grow our strands in engineering and biomedical sciences. So the following year, we would add, this is the track of classes, environmental sustainability for engineering, medical interventions for biomedical sciences, and then adding the capstone courses in Project Lead the Way, engineering design and development, and biomedical interventions. And again, having kids have to present their experience in working together as part of a project in capstone course. Discussed with Dr. Cajun the possibility of introducing International Baccalaureate, that is the correct spelling, Northern European Development Diploma Programming. I think it's pronounced that way. And those are some bulleted explanations of what International Baccalaureate offers your students. It's definitely for your high energy, motivated students to participate in this. It is a worldwide curriculum accompanied by six areas of support. And I can, for the sake of time, discuss this later at another presentation. But it's not just taking hard classes. There's a whole program involved with that. You're going to have they're recommending ages 16 through 19. I mean, they have a little different school system in Europe, but certainly we can align it with what we do here. We have three schools that I'm aware of in New Jersey that we would like to possibly do a site visit,
Freehold Township High School, Fedbank Regional High School, Donovan Catholic all have international baccalaureate programs. I think it's appropriate that we go and see this. Next slide, Jess. Those are some of the other highlights about what, you know, develop strong academic, social, and emotional characteristics. It's not just you put all of your brightest and best students in the classes. There's a whole program associated with it, and they stress collaboration and collegiality to go along with the academics. So our next steps would be, I've submitted my name for contact. They haven't got back to me, but I'm sure they will soon. And we're going to research the infrastructure we need, what the cost is. Everything is, you know, cost considered and budget considered. You know, and work with the professionals and international baccalaureate. And then, as I already mentioned, site visits. And then, of course, there's very rigorous professional development for your own staff if you want to be a part of the international baccalaureate. So I think that, you know, a target group here of students, very successful students, would be very beneficial as we build a program for them to go to the best colleges and universities. And that is my report.
Good question.
Plan.
No, that's it. It's a lot. It really is. It's fantastic.
A lot, and we can chunk the presentation as we're getting more as we go through the year about the things we're want to accomplish. But that's just an overview of where I think the high school should be. And that's not just for, you know, it's feedback from everybody. And you know, bringing some past experiences. I had, you know, previously looked at international baccalaureate. We didn't do that in my previous district. But I know, talking to Dr. Cajun, he's passionate about it. So we're going to look at building it here.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think it's impressive, but I think it's fantastic.
I agree. And I just want to add that focus on the practical application linked with the rigor for each of the different
capstones.
Academies, yes, with the capstones, so students are really both getting that academic experience while also being able to link it up with the real world. It's phenomenal, and the fact that transcends all of the different subject areas, it's exciting.
It's a fascinating watch to see the network the kids and the professionals do after that. You know, it leads to internships and.
So when you need people for the law, government, public service academy, I know a lot of those people. Public service people tend to volunteer. So.
Any other questions? I want to thank principals tonight for giving us that look ahead and where we can expect to be in 3 years. And as I said before, we have to see it, and we have to build it, and then we'll become a reality. And we're well on our way. So thank you very much.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
As we move through the discussion items, the committee of a whole, personnel will discuss in executive session regarding policies. We have the website accessibility, which is new. We have student journalism. And we did talk about podcasting tonight. And the Board of Education is responsible to focus on student publications and productions. Students learn from these things. But they need adult direction and supervision as they move forward. And there are certain rights and responsibility that the students have when they engage with the public in this forum. Even though we always talk about freedom of speech, speech is unprotected and prohibited in all school-sponsored student publications and productions. And there now are five categories that focus on, and there are in the policies that you have tonight on what students can't focus on. So I think that we give you the policies in the Friday packet so you know what they are, and then it's a new policy, and I think it's very timely seeing that we are moving to podcasting, seeing what's out there on social media. And I think that pivotal to all this is the fact that there has to be some supervision on the part of the administration when it comes to these things. And they have to be responsible for reading and making sure that all these things are following policy. So, you know, I did want to mention that. We do have a revised replacement of high school student representatives to the Board of Education that Mr. Goodall is well aware of, and he's working through that as students get voted to be on our Board of Education now, which is required by our policy. Every Student Succeeds Act is mandatory, so there are quite a few policies that you have tonight that you did get in the Friday packet that are mandated, and as you can see, there are several regulations that are being abolished because they have been replaced by other things. And any questions about policies and procedures? Pete, finance?
Yep, I'm going to focus on buildings and grounds and construction. I'll be brief, given the comprehensive reports from the principals. Beforehand, though, just a quick couple of board items. We did receive the order of the ballot for the Manasquan Board of Education from Monmouth County today. So, as you know, we have four candidates running for three places, and the order on the ballot will be Joe Lofredo, Fred Serino, Tom Pellegrino, William Dibble in that order. So, four people running for three positions. Also, just Alexis, so you're aware, if you were not already aware, we only do have four members from the Manasquan Board of Nine, so we don't have a Manasquan quorum. So we'll have to, unless something changes in the next few minutes, table those consent agenda items until the next meeting. Okay, regarding my construction update and facilities, just some pictures and progress photos from the field house since it's been enclosed. A lot of the progress that's been taking place has been invisible to the public, but you'll see it's pretty exciting. It's starting to really come along in there. This is a picture from the northeast corner, so the corner closest to home plate on the baseball field, if you will. You see the turf is now fully installed. All the lines for the different playing fields are stitched in. Large warriors are stitched into the end zone there. The turf is it got GMAS tested today, so it's concussion safe and up to stuff that can be run on and played on as soon as we get our CO. You'll see laying in the end zone there the wall pads that are getting installed. You can see some of them installed on the far corner in the right-hand picture. Those will be going the entire 360 degrees around the field, as well as column covers to provide a safe place for the kids to play as possible. This is a view from the south, so this would be if I'm standing in where the lower roof line starts, looking south towards what's the existing baseball field outside. Just another look at the turf. Again, I think it looks great. It's pretty exciting. Got a couple coaches in a week or two ago, and they were overwhelmed. They're all thrilled to get an opportunity to play. This picture is just from this morning. The flooring, the rubberized flooring, the athletic flooring installation has started to take place. This is the wrestling room where it's mostly installed. It's that light gray floor. It also looks great in wrestling season. That'll be overlaid, obviously, by the wrestling mats. Out of season, we'll pull up those mats, and this room can be used for any number of, you know, yoga, Pilates, dance, any kind of exercise activities that require a large open space like that. The ARU connections took place today, actually, as well. So they were ducted in that tall structure on the north side of the building. This is the single unit that will provide all the air conditioning and heat for the building. So they started tying those into the building proper today. As soon as JCP&L gets out to provide us with our meter, the bulb that will provide the readings for them, we'll be able to start that up and turn it on and get the building climate controlled. So that's where the field house is. Again, just a note on that, we're hoping that will be fully accessible and usable by our students by the time they get here for school in the next couple weeks. So we're making a lot of progress out there, and it's starting to come together. Warrior Way, this is the project that's taking place on the north end of the high school building. It's as you walk up between the gravel road, as you approach the stairs to the football field. Just started, just broke ground yesterday. It's a 10-day project. It's going to look great right now. As you see, doesn't look great, but stay tuned. It's going to look great before school opens. This is a MSDF venture, so our fundraising arm has raised the funds to construct this, and it's also a fundraising source in and of itself, we're going to be selling the border bricks on this to be engraved by anyone who wants a commemorative brick on campus for a graduate or an athlete or something like that. They'll have the opportunity, and do have the opportunity currently to purchase those bricks and get them engraved.
And we had sent that picture, I'm sure, on Friday packet of what the final...
The rendering, yes.
The rendering has been sent to the boards.
So in the next 2 weeks, that should be then buttoned up, complete fencing and paver patty, paver walkway, all completed with man's spawn down the middle. It's going to look great.
I guess we have to order the banners. When we do that, you and I have to sit down and decide exactly what we're putting on them. Right, so the coaches, we'll go through the yearbooks, and I'll ask Don and Mullen to go over and bring some.
And that's what I have for the construction update. So. Again, a lot of work to be done still, but we hope to get it done before anyone gets here. Not anyone, but kids arrive for school.
Thank you. Can I move right to my superintendent's report?
Yes.
Thank you. Enrollment, as you can see, no report for the month. Attendance comparisons, we have several, since we did have students in the building, we did have a building fire drill on July 12th, and a fire drill on the 18th, and a lockdown drill on the 21st. Tonight on the agenda is an approval of the harassment, intimidation, and bullying report. I do have the data for that, and it's mandated by the state of New Jersey that we review that. And this is focused on Manasquan High School and Manasquan Elementary School in regards to the incidents that we've had over the year. The incident totals in the high school regarding to harassment, intimidation, bullying, as you see from the handout, was 4. In the elementary school, there were none. In regards to the suspensions, they are noted on here as well. The incident total for the Manasquan High School, Manasquan Elementary School, the reporting period 2 was 11. And looking at 21 and 22, which we have to report on as well, total incidents, 11 in the high school and 4 in the elementary school, with a total of 15. Regarding the trainings that have gone on in 2021 and 2022, district-wide, we had 2 trainings. Manasquan High School had 2 trainings. So total, we had 4 trainings in district for harassment, intimidation, and bullying. And those programs. The grade 4 that we give ourselves, the evaluation will be coming out after this is sent to the state, which is, I signed off on it, and I'll be sending it after tonight's approval at the board meeting. Code of conduct, we had a presentation by the principal tonight regarding that. The Board of Education goals are on this agenda, as our Manasquan School District goals. They were sent out to you in draft format for everyone to see, and tonight you'll be approving what you saw in draft. We have not changed them because I have not gotten anything back in regards to changing. And with that, and I've moved quickly because I know my assistant superintendent tonight has a lot to say. So, Mr. Place.
Thank you.
Hello.
I have about 78 slides, so
we're focused.
Thank you. So, to pick up on what Dr. Cation and I briefly introduced at the July meeting, we talked about the initiative that we were considering starting this year for student safety monitoring, right, on their school-issued devices. The need that we identified was really that, you know, all of our students in grades 5 through 12 use school-issued laptops. They use them every day. They use them at home. They're our property, but, you know, they pretty much have full control over them, both here and at home. And the concern that we had, or the need we're trying to address, was really that we have all the compliance systems in place to retrospectively, you know, go back and look at, okay, what did they email, what did they, you know, do in a document, what websites did they access, but we really have nothing in place that proactively would alert us to something that is of concern, right, that's occurring on those devices. So that's really the goal that we seek to address with this initiative. We spent the last month or so evaluating different products that are out there, kind of considering and weighing the pros and cons, and tonight are prepared to make a recommendation to the board. So just kind of the background on the framework. Our existing regulations, you know, allow for this, you know, our school district personnel may review files and communications. That's part of our acceptable use regulation for both students and staff. So there shouldn't be, you know,
an expectation of privacy when you're using a school device. This interacts with New Jersey law a little bit. In 2013, the Anti-Big Brother Act was passed that essentially just says we have to provide the student and parent notice, you know, of what we're doing for that, for any kind of information that we would record or collect, as well as ensure that we're not compromising the privacy rights of either the student or anybody else who might be in the student's home, for example, when they're using the device. So that's kind of the policy and legal background. We looked at several products. The one that I'm prepared to recommend tonight is called LineWise. This incorporates several features that we found advantageous to us. First is the fact that they, you know, do 24/7 alerting and notifications, and that includes not just like an email notification. That there are some free products out there that do similar things to this, but they don't include things like, you know, those 24/7 notifications where, in the most serious cases where they think something is of concern, they'd actually be making phone calls, you know, humans making phone calls to administrators to make, or police potentially, to make you aware of that. It combines artificial intelligence and human moderator review, and I'm going to explain a little bit more of how it works in a second. They do risk detection across multiple categories, and the other differentiator of this product is that it's looking at the entire screen. It's not just looking at an individual email or a document. Okay? It's based on what the student is typing, and then the context of the entire screen is available if something is flagged for review. So how the software pretty much works, this is an agent that's installed on every student's laptop that they get from school. And what it does is, in the background, it's essentially monitoring the keystrokes, okay, the entries that the student is actually making on the keyboard of the device into the operating system. If those keystrokes match keywords or key terms, phrases that software is trained to detect, it captures a screenshot, okay, of what's on the student's screen at that time, and then it's sent to the vendor to LineWise over the internet. If the student is offline, okay, if they're not connected to the internet when that occurs, it's still recording it, but it obviously can't send that, you know, until they're connected. But once they do connect again, it would send that report back up. They use that AI to evaluate, try to determine the context of why it was flagged, and that's designed to filter out, you know, as many false positives as possible. And then any event that kind of passes through the AI filter would go to a human moderator that they have employed to be able to look at what the actual context was on the screen, to be able to determine if this is something legitimate that should be passed on. If it's not, you know, if again it is a false positive, and also to evaluate how time sensitive, you know, what a if it's a priority concern, to what risk level is being identified. These are examples of some of the risk categories that can be evaluated, something like child abuse, bullying, drugs, gang membership, grooming, you know, lots of things in the violence or vulnerable person, self-harm, suicide range. Obviously, those would be the more time sensitive ones that get identified in. Initiate phone calls. So this is an example. This is just a screenshot that they kind of shared with us. So in this screenshot, what you're seeing is an example of the student screen. And here, you see a student was composing an email, you know, essentially a vulnerable student saying they, you know, have been hurting themselves lately or something to that effect. This is what's important to understand, again, because that agent is monitoring keystrokes. It really doesn't matter whether this email is ever sent, right, or deleted. As it's being typed, that's what's being detected, and then the screenshot's being captured. So that's what would become available to a school administrator. They would get a report that kind of looks like this. So you'll see what the administrator, again, this is only happening after the AI has reviewed it, after a human moderator reviewed it. This is now what's going to the school administrator. And here what you're seeing is what the administrator would see, right? It identifies the timestamps of when it occurs, what actual text it was that identified that, what category it was, and it also allows the administrator to click on that little blue camera icon, and that gives them access to the screenshot, so they too can see the context of what was occurring on the device at the time it was flagged. So we can identify for each school who our school administrator contacts are. Those non-time sensitive risk events, namely the ones that are not, you know, related to violence or self-harms or things like that, are emailed and can be accessed through a secure portal by those administrators. If there are time sensitive, again, that's typically the violence or self-harm type risk events,
That results in that human moderator making a phone call down that chain of administrators that we've specified until they speak to someone. And then at our option, which in our internal discussions we think would be advantageous to us, right, kind of at the bottom of that chain of people to contact, assuming no administrator has been able to be contacted, let's say it's in the middle of the night, you know, and no one's available or can't answer the phone for whatever reason, they could then be told to contact the police department, you know, for possibly initiating a wellness check if it escalates to that level. That would obviously be the last resort. In terms of just data privacy, LineWise holds several certifications. iKeepSafe is a consortium of internet and student privacy organizations related to the various laws that exist. So those are the certifications that they hold. Mr. Gross's office was kind enough to review the privacy policy and the terms of service that the company offers for us, and we're satisfied with those. And then in terms of what we would do, you know, last month we talked a little bit about informing parents, and obviously you can't read that screenshot on the right up there, but it is in the portal for you in Canvas to be able to see the actual current technology use agreement. This is the form that every student and parent signs before they get a device every school year. So the current version is there for you as well as our proposed version. Currently, we're required by law to have that anti-Big Brother Act notice in there, and that's what's highlighted on this screen. And then what we're proposing to add is the following paragraph, and again, that's there. Again, Mr. Gross's office reviewed that as well. That essentially, you know, in a fairly succinct language, puts the parent and the student on notice that this is, you know, we're being very upfront about what is installed, what we're doing, and how it works. Unrelated to the actual student safety monitoring product, we've had a classroom management product on our laptops and in our old computer labs when we had computer labs several years ago. This allows, or did allow, the teacher to be able to control the screens of the students or block their internet access or whatever while they're in front of them in their class, not, you know, not in a home scenario. That product, you know, was a legacy product we've kind of maintained over the years. It's become less and less functional as, you know, the technology has shifted from a computer lab model to a laptop model, a take-home model, or even a Wi-Fi model. So again, unrelated, we could certainly do these two things separately, but it just so happens a new version of the classroom management product that we evaluated several of those is also made by the same company. It's called NetRef. So as part of this package, we're recommending we move forward with that as well. Again, that's not a new capability that we're giving teachers. It's just replacing the current software, which we've had some difficulty with as technology has changed over the years. So the only reason I bring that up is because it's coming from the same vendor, just so you understand the distinction. And those are the annual prices. This would be the price for this year that we've negotiated for those two products if we move forward tonight. Based on any comments from the board, we would move forward with that. The agenda item is on tonight to purchase the products. And then what I would like to be able to do is to update that laptop agreement so that we can get that out. We are going to hopefully have laptop distribution starting next week. So, you know, as we get ready for the school year, we want to be able to put those forms in place with the new language to be able to. Can I answer any questions?
Good. Well done.
Thank you. So along those lines, the laptop distribution that we have planned, we're planning for 5 sessions over 4 days, beginning next Thursday. We do have one nighttime session from 5 to 7 p.m. next Thursday. Other than that, they'll be during the day or early afternoon. So that'll be next Thursday, next Friday, and then the following Monday and Tuesday. And then once those times expire, we always have a number of students who don't get their laptops before school starts. Understandable, still on the beach. We always, again, do distribution once school starts until everybody gets their laptop.
I just want to thank Jesse for the due diligence that he put into finding a program from the time we were in New Orleans to now, because even though it seems like it came very naturally, he put a lot of hours into researching the 4 different finalists that we had here for this. And the reason why this really stood out for me was the fact that you're dealing with real people. not just computer-generated robotic comments. I mean, actual people review these to make sure they go through things effectively. And then they ask exactly, give them a list of people that should be contacted in case they get to that level that they need to contact us. So I want to thank you for the time you put into this, because it was very important to me that we have this. And I said to the board before, this is not something new. It's been out there, and I wasn't just had it. I thought we really needed to focus on this, and it came about pretty quickly because of his investigations. So thank you.
I should mention, too, one question came up about the ability for it to detect other languages. I forgot to mention that. They do support Spanish, so if something is typed in Spanish, I got the sense that they weren't as confident as with English, like that everything would be caught up into that, but they are, have stated they're working to improve that, but Spanish is a part of it. I also did speak to two other schools that use the product now, one in New Jersey, one in Massachusetts, who gave positive reviews of, you know, of using it for several years.
Thank you. So. Seeing no questions, that concludes the superintendent's report this evening.
I do have one question.
Same question.
Sorry. I didn't want to interrupt. Document C2, is that the one that goes with the HIB?
Mm-hmm.
So the other incidents leading to removal for 2021-2022, 51 in the high school, 5 in the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
That's incidents in addition to the categories that are already broken down?
That's a total of what the categories.
And is that high for an average year?
Is it high for Mansfield? Yes. It's higher than I would like to see, to be honest with you.
Is it a lot higher?
It's a little higher.
Okay.
And if you notice the focus on tonight's presentations from the principals, that the concept of wellness is coming out in a lot of them. The NRIS program that they're focusing on, trying to get students to put into a culture and assimilate to what we do here. We've had some challenges this year, and we're trying to meet those as we move forward. So yeah, it's higher than I would like.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, we're coming out of COVID pandemic and had an impact.
I don't like to keep blaming COVID and the pandemic, but that did have something to do with it. To me, you identify flaws in the system and you work positively to correct them. And it's not the fact that you identify the flaw that's important. It's how you're moving forward to correct that so these numbers go down. And I'm confident that the administration and I have had discussions about this. And as we move forward, we will see these numbers go back to what we were used to seeing for Mansfield. And we've had those conversations.
Yeah,
yeah,
makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. We can vote on the superintendent's report, correct?
Can I have a motion to approve the superintendent's report?
Yes.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Balderman.
Root.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack.
Yes.
Mr. Serino.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Carrie.
So we're just going to vote on the Manasquan sending district items tonight. We'll table the other, the Manasquan general items for now. So can I have, does anyone need anything separated out? Numbers 24 through 57? Through 56? Okay, can I have a motion for numbers 24 through 56? Ms. Herbert, Mr. Vitale,
Mr. Balderman,
yes,
Mr. Catani,
yes,
Mrs. Herbert,
yes,
Mr. Johnson,
yes,
Mrs. Pollack,
yes,
Mr. Serino,
yes,
Mr. Vitale,
yes,
Carrie.
Does anyone have any old or new business they'd like to discuss? a motion to go into executive session?
Yes.
Mr. Catan, Mr. Serino?
All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Thanks, Bruce.
Mrs. Passone? Mr. Burns? Mr. Catani?
Here.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater? Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretto? Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollak?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale?
Here.
We have a quorum for sending district only.
Does anybody need anything separated out, numbers 61 and 62? Can I have a motion for numbers 61 and 62?
Yes.
Mr. Serino? Mr. Vitale?
Mr. Boulderman?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollak?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie?
Can I have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Catani? Ms. Herbert?
All in favor?
Aye.